And, of course, if it's a Friday on the Elf and Slater Show on the home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, it's time for the Jerry Jones Show, brought to you by Bank of America, official bank of the Dallas Cowboys, and Ford, official vehicles of the Dallas Cowboys. Ford is the best in Texas. Jerry, good morning.
Well, hey, Mark and Jane, I've been waiting on this all night.
Well, we were excited to kind of see you a little bit yesterday. We knew you were busy. Let's talk about yesterday's event. What a great thing and a great day for just the fans of the Dallas Cowboys. Over 10,000 people showed up. Tell me, how did that come about and who had the idea?
Well, first of all, we've done that over the years. We've done it from time to time, and it's not only a great thing for young people, but I noticed a big makeup of our fans were adults and older adults, handicapped, and it just is a feel-good for our players. It's a feel-good for our coaches to get out there and see that kind of support. And I did notice some of the interviews as I watched them on television last night, and it was really rewarding to see them appreciate that that much. And of course we were actually competing. The Rangers were playing next door, and I am glad that they were able to find some parking out there.
We're speaking with Jerry Jones on the Jerry Jones Show here on 105.3 The Fan. Staying with the day yesterday at Cowboy Stadium, open to the fans, the open practice. The other thing that I thought was so neat, and young and old, it doesn't matter, the former legends of the Dallas Cowboys there on the field, and just everybody getting a chance to camaraderie and have a good time.
Well, I look at those guys and see that Randy White, or I see Leroy Jordan, Roger Staubach, for that matter, somebody that is very dear. Of course, really, Hollywood Henderson has done such a great adult turnaround. He's helped a lot of people. And then, of course, there's Larry Allen, which certainly is on my list of four or five of the top five players I've ever been around. So it was great to see guys like that down there.
I have one thing to ask you about Hollywood Henderson. Have you asked him how the heck he won the lottery twice?
Well, I just goes to show you, I'm sure he would tell you that he's been blessed. And I do know this. I like to rub up against him because I like some of that blessing on me, too.
Well, okay. Well, one of the alumni that we've been seeing, not only out at Oxnard, but we saw him there yesterday, was Jay Novacek. And it's our understanding that Dez Bryant actually reached out to Jay as a mentor of sorts. Have you heard anything about that, Jerry?
Well, I have not, but it doesn't surprise me. First of all, the willingness of Jay to help anyone, but certainly a Dallas Cowboy. Jay's came from a coaching family, but he's always had such a sense, a humanity about him, and is always willing to help. He had that when he was on the team, but an adjunct to that, I remember when we lost Jay and we knew his career was over. Barry Switzer, the coach at the time, told me, you don't realize what an important part of the success of this team we've just lost. He was Troy's safety valve. As you recall, we would go to him on third and one, third and two, short yardage, long yards. We'd still throw the ball to him. But he had a unique way of positioning himself so that Troy had the kind of confidence in him. I'll never forget, he threw a ball in the Super Bowl, and Troy didn't even see Jay. And when I asked after the game how he made that throw with not even seeing him, and he said, well, I knew Jay Novacek would be there. I knew he would be there. Now, that is a teammate, and that is how you win games.
Does it strike you as interesting, though, that Jay Novacek would be the one Cowboy that Dez would finally reach out to, as opposed to guys like Michael Irvin or even Drew Pearson at one point had reached out to him, but the fact that it would be Jay Novacek and that it would be Dez doing the asking?
Well, first of all, I don't know that we can assume that he's only reached out to one or to Jay, but I don't want to take anything away from the fact that he has done that. I think Jay just has a great way with people. He's got great people skills. From a personal perspective, my father, he was my father's favorite player. And he just had a way with people. I'll never forget, Dad kept him up one night when he came to town to watch the Giants play. And kept him up kind of late. And the guy that he kept up the longest was Jay Novacek. Would call upstairs and have him come down and talk to him.
I'm not done talking to you yet. Well, one of the things that as the season approaches, and Saturday is what they like to call, Jerry, the official dress rehearsal, let's talk a little bit about the impact of Jason Witten and where we stand. I know he's still not sure. A lot of reports out that he was going to have surgery, not going to have surgery, didn't need surgery. What's the latest on Jason Witten?
Well, the latest is that what you do apparently medically is to have your blood examined and are basically taken and tested, and that's what he's doing. It's my understanding that that is showing improvement. That's all we have. We're not doing any MRIs. The laceration just simply but critically needs to heal. And if it doesn't heal, then it's no go. If it does and it heals satisfactorily and no, and not a risk of injuring the laceration or basically impairing it, then he'll play. We don't know, and I don't know.
Earlier this week, I know you told News School that Felix Jones has a place on the roster, but we're continuing to see him struggle a little bit out there for those of us just the observers. What's going on with Felix? You know, why does the coaching staff and you yourself still have faith in Felix Jones as your running back for the Cowboys?
Well, I'm not so sure that we're seeing the same thing. We're seeing Felix in practice type situations. Let's see how he does. He'll get a few carries Saturday night. He got some there in San Diego. He had one opportunity, I think, that we all thought maybe he could have gotten the first down if he had gone in one direction, but he was trying to make something happen. So, you know, I'm just not concerned. I'm proud to have him. And like I said, I was asked the question, well, is there a chance we won't have him? And I said just simply no, there's no chance, absent an injury on his part.
Who else needs to step up this week? So let me separate that. So you're good with Felix Jones, but looking at the roster, other guys, who absolutely needs to step up ahead of roster cuts on Monday?
Well, more importantly, and you've asked maybe two questions here. You've alluded to roster cuts, and that's a good question. But also, who do we want to see have a good outing Saturday night? And I would say I'd like to see these guys we're counting on in the interior of the offensive line, both of them, Livings and Bernadeau. You'd like to see them get some real quality reps. We've got every reason to think they will. I'd like to see Dockery come in and get some quality reps. Leary, you'd like to see Arkin do that as well. I don't think Costa will go. But that's an area that I'm going to keep a real good eye on and hope we get a couple of two or three good possessions there with Romo, because that'll be the group that's in there. Certainly, we're going to not have Dez and we won't have Miles Austin, so it's going to give an opportunity to see some of these receivers and see some of these tight ends do the things we do when we don't have Whitten. All of that will be good stuff for us to look at. We'll see it out of the backfield. We'll see what we can do with Tanner, who hasn't been with us for about 2.5 weeks. So all of those things I'd like to see defensively. Some of those younger but down the line defensive linemen, we've got a real horse race going on for some defensive spots on that defensive down lineman front. So that'll be something for me to look at.
You listen to the Jerry Jones Show on the Elf and Slater Show, home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. And I want to go to the defense side of the ball, because yesterday, seeing a lot of the familiar faces just out on the field, the Hatchers, the Ratliffs, the Spencers, and you start kind of seeing them line up out there and going, all right, there's my defense. Do you get as excited as maybe I do when I start seeing that starting defense on the field where Rob Ryan can do his thing?
Well, of course, we're happy to have him back out. And you'd like to see them get these reps before we go against the Giants. We know what they can do. Hatcher was having a really top offseason, an outstanding camp before he got limited. But, yes, glad to see him out there. It feels good, though, to know that you've got Crawford as a young guy that's has shown a lot of improvement. You've got Lissamore, who should have gotten more snaps last year. But then we've got those other young guys. There's about three or four of them in there that all will get a lot of play time these next two ball games. And that gives us some good depth there and gives us some good strength. We're going to have a decision. Two or three of those guys, Gathers in particular, are big guys, bigger, let's say, than Ratliff, bigger than Lissamore. So you're tempted to look at that size and say, well, do we need, everybody wants it, but do we need some size to go along with some of that athletic ability we have in Ratliff and Lissamore, and for that matter, a little bit Crawford. And so that'll be a little dilemma for them, whether to keep that size on the team and of course, to utilize it right now, this year.
We talk about playmakers, and you guys have always had, seems to have playmakers on offense. You go Miles and DeMarco Murray and Romo and Dez and Witten and so on. Defense is, of course, where you guys needed to get things fixed up. And once again, you've putting everybody together with the playmakers. Brandon Carr just continues to amaze me with his playmaking ability. And if everybody's on in sync, the defense can be really spectacular this year.
Well, we've lacked people that and players that can play the ball. You hear it. I've always heard it. When the ball's in the air, it's just as much the defensive secondary's guy or the linebacker's ball as it is the offensive, the receiver or the back. But you don't see it. Having said that, I do think that we've got some players that will make the ball theirs when it goes in the air. And that will allow that pressure that we want to put on them through Rob Ryan's defense to make the offenses have to honor us more. All of that can help us win football games.
Jerry, as I was looking at the alumni on the sidelines yesterday, it got me thinking, and I'll kind of put you on the spot here, but if you could bring back one Dallas Cowboys player in their prime and put it on your team this year, who would it be?
Oh, what a spot to put you in when you got Roger when you got Roger Staubach standing out there. But, of course, you know, and what Randy White, he set a standard around here about studying his opponent and the role model that he was to his teammates about how to really get ready to play a game, the mental aspect of it. Then you look, I think Cliff Harris was out there. I'll just take them all, frankly.
Now, that's not answering my question, Jerry.
Certainly, it'd be madness if I didn't say, wouldn't you like to have Larry Allen?
What if it was a guy that wasn't on the sidelines? Any Dallas Cowboys player in the history of the franchise in their prime, one player, who would you bring back?
Well, you're not going to get me there, but if I'm on, but if I'm running the ball, then certainly guys like Dorsett come to your mind, but... when I think of the defensive side of the ball, how do you not gauge the impact that a guy like Cliff Harris? Cliff Harris set a tone on that defense that made the identity of the defense in a lot of ways. So you've got a lot of players out there. This is a beauty contest we're talking about right now.
We're speaking with Jerry Jones here on the Elephant Slater Show, 105.3 The Fan. Jerry, everybody, you know, the fact that you own the Cowboys and they're working their way back to where you want them to be. My question is, if you were to own another team, what sport would interest you the most where you would want to own that team?
Well, it has always been football, and that's not to take away from any of the other sports for me. I loved baseball. And played it all my life, and loved to actually play it, but had not shown an interest in doing what took for me to buy the Cowboys, and that's make that sacrifice to get involved. But I've always loved my wife, Jean, scored 18 straight free throws in the state championship basketball game.
Well, hold on a second. We got to clap. That's fantastic.
That's been fantastic. She
is impressive.
She had a shoulder jumper, which was very different for girls then. They shot with both hands usually, but her jumper came from her shoulder. That's pretty interesting since she was a Miss Arkansas. So it really made it interesting when she played basketball.
When you played baseball, what position did you play?
Baseball? Yeah. Catcher and shortstop.
All right.
Well,
But had great times, and we'd travel all over the summers. We didn't play baseball associated with our schools. We mixed it up, and you played on teams that were throughout the city and traveled, so you got to meet a lot of kids that you wouldn't have met just going to school.
Now, I got to ask you, we were just kind of talking about other teams that you might be, you know, interested in owning. Yesterday, we were throwing out the idea of a minor league football system. Why do you think that hasn't caught on?
Oh, I think you have you want to put all your energy, everything we do, as much as we can in our collegiate football system. And, of course, the fact that we have such a great game at that level does create a lot of players that have the opportunity and give the NFL the opportunity to have good teams. So I think as much as anything that's the case. It's not that we haven't been involved, tried from that standpoint. I was involved in the Arena League. I looked at that as a way to, frankly, develop quarterbacks more than anything. We had the World League that Tex Schramm, our own Tex Schramm from the Dallas Cowboys, our original president and general manager for 29 years. Well, he was the first president of the World League. And we had teams both in the U.S. and in Europe. All of those, frankly, have not had the TV viewership that are required. And if there's one thing about a professional sports league that is a must, it must have TV viewership to be successful.
Staying along those lines, what do you think about now the talks of the expansion over to NFL London? Now they're talking two games. They're talking about, you know, putting a team there one day. Do you see that as a real feasibility?
Well, of course, they is us, the NFL, and what we're planning to do is have about 5 years where we try to create an a fan relationship with a team. What we've had now are the equivalent of almost exhibition games, although we've had about, I think, three regular season games. Still, you'd come in, play the game, and leave. They were well-received. London, Great Britain can support, if you will, an NFL team. There are not but about two or three places in the world, in my view, that can support an NFL team outside the United States, and London is one of them. I think we'll evaluate it as we look and see what fans support, how they interrelate. In other words, it's my town against your town. If I'm from London and Hyde Park, then I want to beat those Dallas Cowboys. So we've got to see how that connects.
When you guys closed camp in Oxnard, you had a chance to introduce the crew to the Navy SEALs base in California. Tell me how that was exciting for everybody.
Well, I think that the word is commitment. You just see when it's the real world, really on the line, when a lot of the terminology we use in football, when it becomes the real deal, life and death, they're there to protect us. And when you see the kind of dedication and what they do to prepare themselves, then it's inspirational. And it's certainly inspirational to you when you think you've pushed yourself as an athlete, or in our case, football player. When you think you've pushed yourself as far as you can go, you see that there's a lot more pushing that you can do. I think that's productive.
I know that you keep both eyes, both ears, both hands, both feet on the Dallas Cowboys at all times, and you should. But I know you also keep the other set of eyes on the University of Arkansas and your Razorbacks and Tyler Wilson and Niles Davis. How excited are you about your Hogs?
Well, of course, they've changed coaches, and that was quite a thing to happen in the off season. The impact of that, especially relative, Coach Petrino was an outstanding offensive coach, an outstanding head coach, but offensive coach for the University of Arkansas. And so they've got a new coach now, and I really do support him and hope that he'll do well. From a personnel standpoint, they're one of the finest teams in the SEC. That's saying a lot because, boy, those teams in general are loaded, and That creates quite a competitive situation for Arkansas. One of the reasons that they play here every year is because if you took the Texans off the wall of the outstanding players or the Hall of Famers or the all-conference players at Arkansas, if you took the Texans off of them, there wouldn't be many hanging up there. And so it is important for that school to be able to recruit here in Texas.
Jerry, going back to the game, you guys are now playing your first preseason game here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area over the weekend. What is your game day prep? How do you prepare?
Are you talking me personally?
I am. Walk me through your day leading up to the game.
Well, if we're on the road, it's one thing. If we're here, it's another. Let's go here. I would spend some time out here at Valley Ranch, where I'm talking to you from this morning, and be really looking at what we're going to be doing in the game, what we'd plan to do, what we installed during the week. I'd be looking at that. And then probably would be visiting with as many as three or four groups that might have come into town that wanted to come by and visit or say hello. Probably not too serious a business other than what we're going to be doing that day or night. Now, on the road, it's different. I like to go to the meetings with the players, go to the meetings with the coaches, listen to how we're preparing. And that usually, if we're going early in the morning or going before noon, those meetings will be at night when we get there. If we're going at night, like Monday night football, we'll meet all day. And so that pretty much occupies that time there. And it's just a good time to be with the team.
Do you ever sleep, Jerry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I will say this. It's exciting, and I'll never forget when I first got involved with the Cowboys. I don't think I'd ever had a day that I was not healthy. Well, I developed arrhythmia, and arrhythmia is called a good time heart by a lot of people. A lot of students get that, and it's when your heart goes out of sync, and it's done because when your body's tired, you never honor that, and you just keep going.
Boy, how is that a good thing? That gets me nervous.
Well, watch out. And of course, I was about 45 when that was going on, but I would sleep right out here, and I just didn't want to stop. It was just too exciting and too much to do. And the minute that I did stop, the first, for instance, a cricket might happen out here. I'm looking at a pretty garden outside my window, and if I got waked, then I was up for the day. So bottom line is that period of time in the early years of trying to digest the buying of this team was one of my more trying times and a time that I didn't get much sleep.
You got a preseason game Saturday night against the Rams. It's called the official dress rehearsal. Then you got another one against the Dolphins the following Wednesday. What is left for Jerry Jones to see before the season gets started?
Well, I think we've got a challenge in cutting our roster to 50, down to 53. And the real challenge is, of course, we don't want to lose. It's obvious we don't want to leave one thing there that could help us beat the Giants as far as a player is concerned. So we'll have a challenge. On the other hand, we've got some young players here that by the end of this season could really be in the mix and helping us win games. So those last six or seven cuts will be quite challenging for us. It'll have to do with position. Hopefully it won't have anything to do with additional injury to consider as far as having to do something different than we wanted to just because we got somebody hurt in these last two games. But this roster is a big deal for us, and it is for the league. The facts are, I mentioned this the other day on the show, there's almost 1,200 players that won't have a job in about 10 days because of cuts, because most of these teams have 90 players. They'll be going to 53. That's quite a lot of football players, obviously.
If you had to put your cards on the table right now, I'm going to give you three names to tell me that they will be suited up, ready to play against the Giants on September 5th.
You know I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
They're the obvious. You got Romo on that list?
No. Here, stay with me for a second. Dez Bryant, ready to go?
I don't know. He's we'll play that by ear. He should be. I think the nature of it is that we would have him go, all things equal.
Miles Austin?
Yes.
All right, and the last one is going to be one that I can't remember his name.
let's just throw one in there. How about Murray?
Okay, give me Murray.
Let's put Murray in.
He's going to go?
No, let's put Felix in.
No, my last one was actually Mike Jenkins. Is he going to be ready to play?
I don't think so. He's going to have his situation evaluated by his surgeon, and it may be a little late in the preseason for him. But that'd be real interesting. If we had an evaluation on him by this weekend, I'd like to have that problem to mull over.
Could you?
In shape. I think he's in real shape, and I could conjure up a scenario where he could help us against the Giants for sure.
And maybe because of his situation, a guy like Mario Butler's emergence is going to really help the Cowboys.
Oh, I think so. The fact we've got the position flexibility on Mario at both safety and corner is a big plus, and he's had a good camp.
Jerry Jones, it's always a pleasure. We look forward to Fridays, as you can imagine. Have a wonderful weekend, and good luck Saturday night.
A lot of fun, guys. See you out there.
You got it. Jerry Jones Show brought to you by Bank of America, official bank of the Dallas Cowboys, and Ford, official vehicles of the Dallas Cowboys. Ford is the best in Texas. What to make of Lance Armstrong and what happened in New York next?